welcome to a mixed martial arts and pro wrestling based podcast, a place where we love a shoot and a work. I am your host, Ian Hurst, and this is the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. And welcome to episode 8 of the podcast. So today I'm joined by a really good friend of mine, teammate, and also he'll be getting involved with the fight predictions on the next season, Oliver Harriott. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks. Yeah.
I was thinking this earlier. Have you got a fight name?
No, I haven't actually.
I didn't think you had. I was going to bring you in with your fight name. I was like, I've been in his corner when he's fought, but I don't think he's got a fight name.
No. At least not having a mental block, though, which is a...
So you're all right today, yeah?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Yeah. No, thanks for having us on today.
Thank you for coming on. I've been looking forward to doing this for a little bit. We've been talking about it for what feels like a long time now. Obviously, it's just getting together, and obviously with the pandemic, or pretend pandemic, or whatever you want to call it. it's just been getting together and finding a time. But we're here now anyway. Basically, today, you've got quite a good knowledge in boxing as well as MMA. And you've got a bit of a boxing background as well. This podcast is usually about more MMA and some pro wrestling as well. But I would like to dive into a little bit of boxing as well.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll go over some MMA stuff. But I want to sort of get stuck into some boxing as well. Because it's something that I keep wanting to get more into. Because I enjoy doing boxing. I enjoy training boxing. And I used to enjoy watching it. But I seem to have fell out of love with it a little bit. So just to go over, I just want to sort of start with your sort of martial arts background. And just sort of pick up from there. So
yeah.
So background in boxing.
Yeah. So actually, the first combat sport I ever did was Thai boxing. So about 14, 15 years old, went on a family holiday to Thailand, and I thought, why did I do a Thai boxing? So went to a gym, Thailand, trained there for a couple of weeks, sort of like 3 hours a day, and I think some of the most intense training I've ever had in my life. My shins turned purple. And, getting thrown all over the place, in the clinch, and my nose getting bust open and that. But I really, really enjoyed it. And then got to a stage where I'm like, right, back in Sheffield, find myself a Thai boxing gym and, keep up with it. And so, found a Thai boxing gym, went down, and then got to beginner's class. And they were teaching you how to throw a teep. It wasn't quite the same experience that you're going to have in Thailand. Went to one session, I sucked it off, and I thought, this ain't for me anymore. And then I've been maybe 18 years old, and one of my good friends, who's still my friend now, said, he's trying a boxing gym, and it was St. Vincent's Amateur Boxing Gym.
How long ago was this?
18 years.
Right, so, yeah.
God, what's that? About 16 years ago?
Yeah.
Show my age a bit there. But, went down there, and I think it was just one of those things where, I just loved it. As soon as I walked in there, I thought, this is me, this loud music, and all that, sweating, aren't they, fast banter and that.
Yeah.
And everyone's working hard, just really enjoyed that side of things.
It's the one martial art, boxing, that I think sometimes forgets its actual martial art.
Yeah, definitely.
It's almost like boxing thinks it's different than all the other martial arts. Not in a sense of better or worse. More that it's weird. Like when I've been boxing, there's not the sort of mat etiquette that a lot of martial arts gyms have.
No.
Like obviously Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, no shoes on the mat. You've got to wear certain things. Whereas boxing,
bow as well, won't you, before you step on the mat?
Yeah. I think that boxing as well, you get a lot of people that are sort of, you get a lot more sort of like not a poorer community, but you get a lot of people that have come up sort of like tough.
Yeah.
They haven't got much. And then they've just got, and they'll train from there. Usually they go towards boxing before anything else.
I think in the UK, it's definitely more of a working class sport.
Yeah, true.
I mean, off the back of that though, I think obviously because boxing was invented in England for one.
Yeah.
And obviously it's quite a northern sport as well, isn't it? I think your place in Sheffield, Leeds, Manchester, you get a lot of boxing gyms. But the prices as well, you're paying £2-3 a session.
Exactly, that's the difference.
Whereas MMA gym, you can be paying, 60 quid a month?
A lot of them are you have to sign up to this monthly contract. A lot of jiu-jitsu gyms right, you've got to buy this gi, that's £80. Yeah. You've got to buy this, that, you've got to sign up for certain, and it's a lot more money.
Yeah, you've got your seminars. How much are seminars? Talking about probably maybe 20 to 50, 60 quid for a seminar.
Yeah, and you're expected to go to them.
That's it. And you're paying 20 competitions as well.
Yeah.
It's like, what, 30, 40 quid to enter a competition?
Whereas, like you say, boxing, 2-3 quid for a session.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you're young.
And you can compete for free, can't you? Pay for your medical.
Yeah.
And then you're set for the season then, aren't you? So it is a very, I think I personally find it interesting, especially being like an MMA fighter now, where you can train like a boxing gym, Thai boxing gym, jiu-jitsu gym, MMA gym. And they're all like completely different types of people, aren't they?
Yeah, completely. Like,
very different. I think it's so strange how people can be drawn to one particular sport. I've always found them all very interesting. I think I do them all just on their own as well.
But yeah,
I think MMA is the one that's...
Being MMA fighters now, you find that certain gyms are more welcoming to MMA guys.
Yeah,
and definitely. Some aren't. Some really don't like MMA guys. I don't want to bash jiu-jitsu because I like jiu-jitsu. We're both blue belts in jiu-jitsu. But sometimes you do get that in jiu-jitsu a little bit. They don't like sort of the MMA guys. Whereas I find a lot of like boxing gyms or boxing guys don't mind you that much. They're happy to do rounds with you. They're more welcome at times. That's not a broad stroke across all gyms. Just in my own opinion sometimes.
I think it's like finding the right people there. Like boxing gym that we train at, you know, train with Wayne Reed. I think he's trained out of an MMA gym before, hasn't he? And he's been the boxing coach.
Well, so. He started training me about 6-7 years ago. He was just transitioning into an MMA gym at the time. And he was still pro at the time.
That's it. So I think maybe if he'd have had a different run at things, I think maybe he might have tried it himself. Because, you know, I think he's very cognizant of that, isn't he? When he's training you, he's like, right, well, you know, take this angle.
Yeah.
And you can clinch from there or, you know, you can shoot with double legs.
I remember when we first started, we were constantly like, get your hands up, get your hands up. And I fight with my hands quite low.
Yeah.
Because in MMA, you sort of have to at times because you have to be ready for the takedown or double leg, catching a kick. I'm not completely hands by my side, like gunslinger style, but he was constantly on me at first. And then he just accepted that that's my style. He could see I was having success with it, even against boxers, even against high-level boxers. I was having success just boxing with my style. And he just accepted it and we worked on my style.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, I had a fight under Wayne Reed and I won that. And then got back into MMA. I think I had an MMA fight 3 weeks after that. So it worked quite well, but...
Do you think there's a big difference in competing in the sports, in like the feel of them, from boxing to MMA?
It's if you do enough training for one, I don't think it makes a big difference. But because I was training for an MMA fight and a boxing fight at the time, it made my boxing fight a little bit more messy because I was having to constantly fight the urge to grab the guy after I hit him. So I'd throw a couple of punches and then it was almost like instinct to grab and tense. Whereas when you're clinching boxing, a lot of the time you want to relax and let the other person burn energy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you want to show them that you're the one that's trying to work, don't you? And they're the one that's trying to stop the flow of the fight, aren't you? So it's very, very different.
So how many boxing fights did you have?
I had 14 boxing fights through amateur and unlicensed as well. So that was leading up to about, I think maybe 2009, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think I wasn't ever a very consistent fighter. I mean, through being at uni especially, like, and just other things going on in your life, I would be, have 2-3 fights and then stop fighting for 6 months, stop fighting for a year, get an injury, or you know, you'd win a couple, lose one, and get this. And then, so I was never, I think, really saw it as like the progression and gone through it the way I should have done.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that I was just never consistent enough, which I think is something that I'm very conscious of in MMA, and especially now that obviously I'm past 30 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm like, right, if I want to make a decent run of something and have something that I'm proud of here, then I've absolutely got to just take the chances when I get them.
I think we're both in a similar mindset there because we're both similar age. I'm 32. You're 33, 34?
34. I just turned 34 last month. Yeah.
So. And we're both pretty much ready to turn pro if we want to. It's about being dedicated to it still and knowing that we're good enough. And I think we both are. But we're not 20 years old. We're not 22.
That's it.
We're in his 30s now. I feel better than I've ever felt in the gym at the minute. I've had a couple of off days recently. I know I was talking to you about this before the podcast. But this last few weeks leading up to today, I'm going up in weight. I feel good. I've put the size on that I need to. And I feel confident going pro. It's more of a belief in myself. I know I've got the tools. It's just using them.
Yeah.
And I think you've actually got a very good mindset for it. When I watch you train and I've watched you fight and I've cornered for you, it seems even if it's close, there's no quitting you. You seem like you're determined to win, whether you feel like you're ready or not. That last fight that I cornered you in, that was really impressive to me. I took a lot from that watching you. We walked in. We wasn't late, but the show was running things late. You was the first one on. You were getting your hands wrapped. We had 10 minutes mid-hand wrap before the bell was going to start, the first bell. You walked in the back. You put your shorts on. They said you've got a minute or something. I think you hit the pads with me for about 30 seconds. You walked out there and won the fight. And I remember thinking, I'd be shitting myself now because I'd feel like I'm, you know what I'm like anyway. I overthink everything. I'd be like, I ain't warmed up enough. I haven't done this. But you were just cool, calm and collected. You looked like you didn't give a shit. You took that first round to sort of let yourself warm up. And you fought a really good fight against a scrappy guy. He looked scared of you. He was just trying to grab you, hold you down, run the clock. And I've never seen you throw a triangle up off your back before.
No, it was just crazy, weren't
it? It was good. It was good. It was amazing because normally you like to stand and bang or you like to take them down. You've got a really strong sort of top pressure. But I've never seen you tap anybody off your back or attack off your back usually. And to see you sort of switch in that last round and get that triangle choke and watch him go unconscious was amazing for me to be that close. I was like a meter away from you against the cage. He was right in our corner.
See, he just collapsed, didn't he? It was mad because...
As soon as I saw him go limp, me and Sam just jumped up in the air. It was crazy because...
I remember seeing Sam cheering. He was the guy was loving it, weren't he? Especially, say that Brad Pickett were his coach, weren't he, as well?
Obviously. Yeah, I remember just being stood there mid-fight. I kept glancing across to Brad Pickett and I was like, fucking hell, I've watched him fight in the UFC for ages.
Yeah.
I'm now cornering against his guy.
Yeah, it was a crazy fight though because I remember just... Obviously, we were late and I remember... We were just taking a casual, weren't we? Had the medical, started getting hand wrapped, and then Sam's all of a sudden started just losing his shit. Need to put your shorts on. I'm like, mate, my hands are getting wrapped. I can't get my hand wrapped.
Yeah.
Put my shorts
on. I think it's because she was zoned out, but me and him was very aware of, they were sort of telling us you got 5 minutes, and was like, 5 minutes? Well, I think you was just zoned in on getting your hands wrapped.
When I walked out, and I remember walking out, and obviously I never got a chance to pick my music, and they picked like some pop song or something. I felt like I was stood in a line at Sainsbury's or something. You know, just like, I didn't feel like I was walking into a fight.
Yep.
And then I remember going to touch gloves with him, and he didn't touch my gloves, and he just put it on me. Put me back on the cage, took me down. And I was just he couldn't, I think I was a bit stronger than him, so just tied him up. And he was very much like, I remember Brad Pickett's like, you've got him there, you've got to hold him there. And I was just sat on my back like, well, this is shit. And I'm like, he weren't hitting me, but I was...
No, he wasn't. He was running the clock.
That's it. And I remember I threw a triangle up in the last 10 seconds.
Yeah, he did in the first round. And he didn't seem to defend it properly. And you locked it on, then the bell went.
And I was like, I was almost so shocked because that's something that I would never get on any of the lads in the gym, like ever. And then the second round, he'd done it. He got the takedown again. And I remember the ref ended up standing it up because it was a stalemate. And
it was quite funny that because I'm not going to take credit for it, and I don't think we actually did. But while he was on top, he wasn't working. But we wanted to point it out to the ref, and I was shouting, and the ref was looking at us, so he was aware of what we were saying. I was shouting at you, going, "Oh, the ref's about to stand it up. He's about to stand it up, Ol." And you could see he was looking at us like, "Am I? Am I standing it up?" He's like, "He's going to stand it up now, Ol. He's going to stand it up now." And then like 5 seconds later, he went, "Right, guys, come and stand it up." We were just like laughing like little kids. But obviously it was...
Little victory, isn't it?
It was it probably made no difference, but it was just funny that it was heckling the ref.
I think that's when I woke up though, and I was warm then. I had a sweat on and I was just
you
like,
took him down then.
Yeah, I thought, I'm not having this again. And I just shot on him, got him down. And I think I got him in the head and... got him in a Von Flue choke, and then the round ended again. And then the third round, obviously, I got him down, didn't I?
You got him down. I think he reversed it.
Yeah, he swept. I was conscious.
He was close.
I thought that he's probably two rounds up on the scorecard, so I've got to work him.
It was hard to tell. I wasn't sure, to be honest. I wasn't sure where
he was. You've got to think, though, it's like he could have gone either way, couldn't it? So I think I was just a bit too overzealous, and then he managed to sweep me. And then I remember got the triangle. I think you shouted maybe triangle. And
we're shouting instructions to try and get to the cage and get up. And then we realised what time it was on the clock. And I think, again, got nothing to do with me. I think you just did it out of instinct. I remember I was shouting at you, pull guard, work the triangle. And within seconds, you just pulled guard, threw this triangle up and you had it locked on. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Yeah. You tied it up and he tried to pit you. I think he lifted you off the ground to slam you.
Yeah.
But you moved so he couldn't slam you properly.
Well, I think that's when it went on though. You know when he picked me up? Because he didn't get all the way up, did he?
It's usually when they try and slam, they fall deeper into it.
That's it. You lock it up tighter, can't you? I think you get a better angle on it.
Yeah.
I remember just pulling it. I've never pulled anything so hard in my life. I remember just pulling his head so hard.
Yeah.
And you said switch to the ankle, didn't you? And I've never got a triangle like that before. So thought I'm pulling.
It helps you turn the angle a little bit more. That's why it's good. It doesn't actually do much other than it pulls you sideways on.
So it really
puts it across the neck.
Yeah.
And just when he went limp, it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought he's got a tap. I was looking at his hand and I was looking for the tap. I thought he's got a tap now. And he just collapsed, didn't he? Instead.
Yeah. Fair play to him for not tapping. But...
Yeah, you got to give him his dues, aren't you, at the end of the day? Because you were game, weren't he? Obviously, he's from a good gym.
Yeah,
like, they've got a few fighters that are in the UFC there, aren't they? Top team. So obviously a very good gym. And good fight. Glad to get the win.
So what's next?
I think I got offered title fight and one promotion, which didn't happen because of COVID. I went back into lockdown, didn't we? So, I think title fight, defend it once, and then turn pro. I was saying to you, weren't I, the other day, just like, I think we've got the skill set and the physicality both, and I think we could definitely beat a lot of pro fighters now, but I think I'd like to just get the title, just, for an accolade, and then turn pro and see.
It'd be nice to see you get that rematch on Cage Steel.
Yeah.
Against James Green.
About James Green, yeah.
Yeah, I think, because obviously you fought him, and it was a very close fight, and they ended up going with him on the decision. But I think that was the best outcome that could have happened for him. I think I've said this to you.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have gone any better for him. But like, you looking back now, if you approached a rematch, you'd be like, oh, well, you know you can wrestle better than him now. You know you're stronger. You know you've got better jits. And you know he doesn't really throw kicks, and you've got better kicks. He's got good boxing, but so have you. I think the adjustments that you'd make over the possible adjustments that he's got at hand to make as well, I think the rematch would massively benefit you. And I don't think it'd be that close. I think you'd dominate him.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think if there was another minute on that fight, because I finished, I was on his back.
He was on his back. You know what I mean? The only thing that made it difficult for you is your back was against the cage. So it's difficult for you to finish the rear naked choke in that position.
Yeah.
But again, like you say, another minute, you probably found your way under his chin.
Yeah, but that'll switch to the mount, can't you?
Yeah.
I think
what it is, though, isn't it? But,
I was gutted about losing that fight. But at the same time, I think I maybe went in there like a bit of a headless chicken and just went in there fighting. You know, I'm going to go in there and fight. Whereas if I thought, right, I'm going to play to my strengths.
Yeah, this
and
is your strategy.
And had a game plan, then, it's something you learn, don't you? And that's why I think, for the pros, I know what I'm good at. And I want to start focusing
The difference is you've got a good style for 3 5-minute rounds because you take your time warming up in that first round.
Yeah.
But with three threes, that you lose 3 minutes. You've only got 6 minutes of work.
That's it. You've got to get straight into it, aren't you? Yeah.
You've got to just come out heavy, an amateur. But you wouldn't do that in pro. Your style would suit pro anyway. With you coming out, feeling things out a little bit, run that first round. That's what you would do in pro.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so you're thinking one amateur then a pro?
Yeah, I think one or two more, but I guess really it's a case of when a show's going to be on again, isn't it? Because for all we know, we could be waiting 6 months, couldn't we?
I think it's waiting to see what opportunities arise. If a good fight at pro comes up for either of us, it's time to go.
Yeah, jump on it. With MMA, you can go back to amateur afterwards as well, can't you? They're like two separate records, so... You can always do that
if you wanted to, I suppose.
I think we're both ready. I think sometimes you can put too much of a pedestal on things, can't you?
Yeah.
And I think getting there and...
We're both more experienced than a lot of the beginning pros now.
Exactly.
And I think 5-minute rounds and elbows, perfect for me. I think they'd help you as well, especially with that top game you've got and your boxing. Just add them elbows in.
Yeah, I think getting half guard down, you can start pounding elbows on them especially. Yeah, definitely.
Right, so let's get back to boxing then. So... I want to sort of pick your brain on boxing only because you've got more of a knowledge in boxing than most people that I talk to or myself. You're a little bit more clued up. Obviously, you prefer MMA still. That's your thing.
Yeah.
You're a little bit more sort of on the pulse with boxing. I just want to sort of get into the rumoured Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua fight to kick things off straight away, just straight into it. Is it going to happen this year, do you think? I've been looking at this all morning just so I've got a little bit of knowledge coming into this. What do you think about this fight?
Yeah, I think it's like the business side of thing, isn't it, really? Of, what the split's going to be, where they can do it. Can they do it somewhere with fans? Because like, that's one of the fights that, they're going to make a lot of money off.
You think they'll wait till the fans are back, or do you think they'll just...
I think they're trying to do it somewhere where they can get away with having fans, but I think they were talking about Saudi Arabia, weren't they? Or like the Emirates. But obviously they've obviously had loads of issues with COVID, haven't they? With obviously everyone from the UK and Europe has been rushing over there. So now I think they can't do it there. I've heard they were talking about having it on like a cruise ship or a yacht or something. So who knows? You know, you might wake up one day and they've booked the fight and it's going to happen. But I think ideally, you know, they're going to want to have it somewhere like Wembley Stadium, aren't they? So
they'd like to, yeah. But England's so strict at the minute. Not just strict. It's like just having headless chickens in charge. One minute it's like you've got to be super strict. Everyone's got to stay in. Next minute you can go out. There's no. It's just guesswork.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they know what's happening. Do they open the country back up, shut it down again? So, yeah, I agree with you there. But, and again, you know, they're not going to fight for peanuts either, are they? And I think both of them, with the performances they're coming off, and obviously they're like the two biggest names in boxing, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah, I feel like the longer they leave it, though, the more that it'll still be exciting when it happens. But you want it to sort of get going soon. Yeah. While there's some more hype to it, the longer you leave it, you sort of just sat around waiting.
Well, the thing is, I think it's personally, like them two guys, I think they probably should have fought as prospects, probably should have fought again as contenders, and then fight again when they're both. Do you know what I mean? Like they should have,
yeah,
should have fought each other in their careers a few times. Yeah,
you'd want to see like three fights out of them, really.
Yeah, yeah, or at least two, you know, see how that goes. One of them might get smashed, but I think in terms of the fight, probably got to lean towards. I think maybe lean towards Fury a little bit, but they've both, you can see that they've like changed the styles a lot since they've started boxing. So obviously Fury's like a counterfighter, isn't he? You know,
difficult
slick.
To hit, difficult to land anything heavy
good,
on.
Good angles, you know, going to pot shot you when you're thrown.
He seems to have added some extra power shots though into his game.
Yeah, you see him when he fought Wilder for the second
time.
He was training with Kronk, weren't he? And he were, so obviously there he's, you know, he's moving forward, more aggressive, you know, which is, you know, someone like Wilder, you got to think, he's only, what, like 15 stone, I think, isn't he? So,
he's a cruiserweight, really, isn't he?
Yeah, man. He's not a big fighter, so...
But there's no one at cruiserweight for him to fight that's exciting, so he has to fight heavyweight.
Yeah, there's Usyk, isn't there? But he's moved up as well. So, it's one of those, I think it's not like a big money division, is it? You know, like, you're not getting... Never get the... Like, David Haye, he moved up as well, didn't he? He was, like, one of the best guys at cruiserweight, moved up as well. Holyfield as well, he was a cruiserweight, weren't he? And he'd done the same, so... Yeah, I think it's the done thing, you know, if you wipe out of that division and you move up, don't you?
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I mean, one of the biggest issues is actually making fights in boxing.
That's
the big difficulty. That's where I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, MMA's better than this and boxing's worse at this. But if you look at them both, when it comes to sport, a dictatorship seems to be better than sort of like a self-employed style sort of bargaining thing that Well, not bargaining. You know what I mean? Where boxing is now, where they've got to make deals and they've all got managers and you've got to get past them.
That's what I'm saying, like the business side of things. And like, especially you've got to think like...
It spoils it, I think. It makes it difficult to watch and keep up on news-wise.
So if you look at some special like boxing, like Eddie Hearn, who's a promoter, like AJ is his biggest fighter. So is he really going to want to see him get knocked out when that's his biggest payday at the moment? No. And like, I think Josh Warrington just got knocked out as well, didn't he, last week. Obviously Kel Brook
Problem with boxing,
not ideal, is it?
They put so much emphasis on they have to be undefeated or they have to be on like a 10 fight win streak.
Yeah.
When you look at like MMA, a lot of them have got losses, but it doesn't mean they're not exciting or you don't want to see them.
Do you think it's coming into MMA a bit more now though, where especially like,
I think, because it weren't rivaled,
you got to look at like welterweight division at the moment in the UFC and the lightweight division. All those contenders do seem like a little bit like cagey to fight each other, aren't they? Like
they are starting to get managers and stuff like Ali Abdelaziz.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of managers coming into it, but the UFC will always be a dictatorship. So I think it's three fights. He'll only offer you three fights a year. And if you turn all three down, you're automatically cut.
Really? I didn't realise that. So if you turn the last one down, they'll probably stitch you up on the last one as well, won't they? Like give you like a hot prospect or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. I do notice it more now because, like, obviously with Leon Edwards.
Yeah. Like, it's a bit different because he's on like an 8-fight win streak. So, yeah, probably got a bit more leeway with him.
Because they were trying to match him up with Covington, weren't they?
Yep.
Wouldn't fight him. Masvidal wouldn't fight him either. So, no.
He didn't
want
to fight Wonderboy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you do get, I think they're starting to get a little bit more. I think they all seem very cagey. Like, no one wants to get a loss at like the top five, top seven. All a bit afraid to lose at the moment, aren't they? Which is understandable.
Now he's fighting Bilal Muhammad.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good fight that as well.
I'm tempted when we do predictions to go with Bilal.
You reckon?
Because I always seem to go with the guy that's more active, and he had a good performance last weekend.
No, that's what I think. And he's active. Thing is.
He hasn't had years off.
Yeah, but Edward's been off for 2 years, hasn't he? Which is obviously like that's so long to have off. But at the same time,
at that level, it is.
He's never looked bad either, has he, in a fight?
No.
Even like when he fought Usman, Usman did outclass him a bit, I think. But he outclasses everyone.
It's a long time ago. So. They've both come on leaps and bounds since then, though.
Yeah, yeah. What do you reckon Bilal will beat Edwards, then, do you?
He's definitely the underdog, but I like to go with the active fighter. He's just had a good performance. We don't know what Leon's going to turn up like. I don't know if he's going to need a round to sort of get comfortable in there. Could be completely wrong. He could go in there and just destroy him.
He doesn't seem like a cagey fighter, though, does he? Like, you know, when you watch Edwards fight, he's like a very...
He looks cerebral.
Cerebral
is the word. He's a very intelligent fighter. He looks like he's thinking and calculating. He doesn't get excited when he lands a good shot and be like, I need to land another one.
Yeah.
He looks very sort of worked out.
I can't see him like getting that adrenaline dump and then just blowing his wad by like halfway through round two. And then like, as well, Bilal Muhammad, like, yeah, a lot of leg kicks in that last fight, didn't he?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he's got, 4 week turnaround time? Like, yeah. True. Like, he had to keep switching stance, didn't he? Because he was eating so many leg kicks.
That's a good point, yeah.
I think that'll be a big, big decider.
He's not going to be running or be able to wrestle or train properly for at least a couple of weeks.
That's it. Well, I guess if he keeps his weight down, you know, he's not going to be cutting too much weight, is he, for the next fight? If he just stays on his diet. I think it should be a good fight. I like Bilal Muhammad, a big fan of his. He seems to be one of those guys that like never really quite breaks into like the top 10.
Not though, yet, no. But obviously, this is his chance. This is the opportunity he needs. He's active. He's going against a guy who's not active or hasn't been for a couple of years. Highly ranked. If ever he's got a chance to break in quick, this is it.
Yeah, you take those chances, don't you? I think you have to.
Yeah, but if it doesn't go well for him, 2 or 3 more wins after that, and he's right back in that top 10 again.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And I think as well with the people there now, where Usman's beat everyone, haven't he, basically, apart from Wonderboy.
Wonderboy, yeah.
So it's like...
That'd be interesting to see that style.
Do you reckon Wonderboy can pick him apart, though? That'd be...
Probably not, but I'd just like to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by it'd be interesting just to see how it goes.
Yeah, but he's another one. No one wants to fight him, do they?
Like, no one wants to fight Wonderboy.
You just can't get those top 5 opponents. He's like, having none of it, are they?
But if I was ranked under him, I'd be trying to get that fight because eventually, same with anybody, and there's never been a time where this hasn't happened. Age gets you eventually.
Yeah, of course it does.
And he's about 38, 39 now, I think.
Yeah, yeah, he's getting up there.
So. It's going to happen where 1 minute he's going to look amazing, then the next fight is going to have completely fell off. And everyone's going to be like, what's happened? It'll have just been that time where he just tapped him on the shoulder and gone, this is it. This is your time.
He's never looked bad in a fight, has he? Even like when Pettis knocked him out, I think he was still winning that fight. And then Pettis obviously just...
Oh, it was 100%. 100% he was winning that fight up until that.
Yeah.
But what I mean is at some point, age will catch him. So you've got to be looking at his age now and you'll be like, well, do I want to be the first one to catch him? They might not do. But if I was someone like Michael Chiesa, I'd be like... That's who I'm gunning for.
You'd be wanting that fight, wouldn't you?
Yeah. He hasn't fought for a while. Again, I'm a bit more active. He's getting up there in age. If I can beat Wonderboy, I'm going to shoot right up the ranking.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there, actually. And it'd be interesting to see what they give him next, because he is a bit like, he's like the boogeyman, isn't he? You know, in terms of, he's just got such an awkward style.
Yeah.
And like, he's, you know, he's got good defensive wrestling, and obviously with his striking, you know, the angles and, just his work rate, you know, it's unbelievable, isn't it? And he's constantly picking at you with something. So that'd be interesting to see who they give him next, actually. Yeah.
But so going back to sort of boxing versus MMA/UFC, I had this idea the other day and I wanted to put this by you, see what you thought. What would you say to sort of, do you think this is impossible? Or I'd like to see boxing bring in sort of like a boxing league. Somehow MMA's got the UFC. I don't think it'd take off well. But the idea would be you'd sign so many people to your league, and if they didn't want to fight, you'd have to cut them. Starting off, you wouldn't have the best guys in the world. But if you look long term and you built this league over maybe sort of like 10 years, eventually you're going to have all the best guys and you're going to slowly accumulate them all. Yeah, and then you leave all the other ones on the outside sort of trying to figure things out themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you could build like a league similar to, and eventually it'd be like a normal thing. I know I use this sort of term with you the other day, or not term, but this analogy of Premier League football. You don't get to pick who you choose. You just get, this is who you're playing against this year. Get ready for these matches. And that's that.
You've got your lineup already, haven't you?
Yeah, this is your lineup. You're fighting these. There's no negotiation. You can't be like, we don't really want to play Chelsea in a couple of weeks. Can we play Everton or something instead? There's no negotiation. There is a little bit of negotiation with the UFC, but nothing like boxing.
If you want the title, you know you've got to fight, don't you?
It's a dictatorship.
Five people you got to fight. But they've got that Ultimate Boxer, haven't they? I don't know if you've seen that before. Is it on? I think it's on ITV. But that's similar, where they get guys who have like maybe between 4 and 10 fights, and which, you know, there's a lot of boxers that have had that many fights, and they're just putting them against each other. And whereas I think on a normal pro boxing circuit, those guys are probably fighting journeymen and just, you know, sell tickets to your mates, get to fight the journeymen, and you're building yourself up to maybe getting like a central area title or whatever. But they're putting them against each other, and you know what? They're always good fights. They have like knockout tournaments, so they're like 4-man knockout tournament on the same night, and they're always exciting fights. Which I think that's the, you don't want one sided fights, do you?
No.
So I think that's the most important thing. But I think obviously with regards to like problems of having a table, when the guy at the bottom of the table most likely going to get knocked unconscious by a guy at the top.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, it's not quite so simple, is it, as having like 3 goals put past you. So I think that's the only problem, and like when you put like you factor like injuries in, and
yeah, and I get that. I don't mean it should be like the Premiership. What I mean is there's no negotiation.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see maybe not no negotiation, but I think the UFC is in a good spot now where there's a little bit of negotiation, but the excitement's there because you know Usman's going to fight one of them top guys. He's not going to go, well, I just won my last one. I'll just fight number 15 for my next one, just to get my reps in, and then I'll fight top contender. He's fighting the best guys.
You're taking like a can out. You don't even really get warm up fights, do you? It's remember Ronda Rousey had like a long time out, didn't she? And she comes straight back and forth. Amanda Nunes, got knocked out in a minute.
It's the same as Conor.
You don't get like stuff leveled out.
Same as Conor. I saw a lot of the like boxing fans or more sort of diehard boxing fans saying, "Oh, I should have took more of a warm up." It's like, that doesn't happen in the UFC. That doesn't happen in MMA.
But for me, I think that's like the differentiating point for MMA, is that you go in there and you know it's going to be maybe 60-40, but it's going to be like a fair fight, isn't it?
Usually, yeah.
You know, which
it's
is
for the fans. It's mostly enjoyable.
That's most of the fun of it, because like you can even watch like a fight night on the prelims of like a UFC card, and you still know you're going to get like your money's worth. Or even like, you know, like watching like amateurs and that, you're still going to get a 50-50 fight, and it's going to be fun to watch. And you know what you're getting, don't you? So I think that's
why MMA is on the rise and boxing's a little bit on the decline at the minute. Maybe not even a little bit. I'm probably being a little bit nice there. It does seem to be falling off at the minute. It's getting thinner and thinner. And I think it's because fans are becoming more wise to what's happening. They're getting boxing matchups that aren't fair, or they just give me fights, and why would you waste your evening on Saturday or Sunday night watching a boxing fight where you already know who's going to win?
That's it. And spend your money on it as well.
Yeah.
In America, they're paying like $80, aren't they, for a pay-per-view? So
it's crazy.
Like, you watch like Floyd Mayweather's fighting that what's it called, Logan Paul. You know for a fact that Floyd Mayweather's going to whoop his ass.
Well, look who he's just lost against, that Logan Paul. He lost against a British YouTuber.
That, what's it, that KSI, didn't he?
Yeah, he was smaller than him.
Yeah. It's just like...
Never done any sport or anything. Apparently, he just trained really hard for that match.
But I think, didn't they used to like play Call of Duty against each other or something?
Yeah.
And then they just thought, we'll have a boxing fight, which I think is fair enough. And if people want to play and watch it, but who in their right mind wants to pay and see Mayweather get...
I don't understand why Mayweather got injected into that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, from his part, you know, probably getting paid like few hundred million to do it. I guess it makes sense for him, doesn't it? But I just don't understand who's paying him to do it. That's the problem, isn't it? That why would someone want to see that?
Yeah, true. Tell you what, let's have a little break. We'll have a short break and we'll come back. I've got some other questions I want to ask you.
Yeah,
that sound good?
Good, yeah. No.
Right, nice one. And welcome back from the break.
All ready to get started again.
Straight back in. So, right, what we're going to do is I'm going to hit you with what I like to call a quick fire round. So how this works is I'm going to hit you with two answers or two options. And I want you to give me one of the options, whether you like the first one or prefer the second one, whatever it is, I just want you to say whatever comes into your head first, the answer that you think. So if I said red or blue, you'd have to go red or blue straight away. Don't think about it. I'm not saying who you prefer. I'm not saying what option you prefer or hate. It's just whatever you think. Don't think about it. Just answer.
All right, then. Yeah, let's go for it.
Yep. Feeling ready?
Yeah.
Here we go then. Mike Tyson or Lennox Lewis?
Mike Tyson.
Billy Saunders or Canelo Alvarez? Alvarez.
Canelo Alvarez.
Kell Brook or Prince Nazim?
Prince Nazim.
Chris Eubank or Nigel Benn?
Eubank all day.
David Haye or Dillian White?
Dillian White.
Oscar De La Hoya or Manny Pacquiao?
Pacquiao all day long.
Floyd Mayweather or Terence Crawford?
Mayweather.
I'm going to see you a bit unsure then.
I had to think about that one.
Rocky Marciano or Sugar Ray Robinson?
Sugar Ray Robinson.
George Foreman or Joe Frazier?
Joe Frazier.
Joe Calzaghe or Tony Bellew?
Calzaghe all day long.
Ricky Hatton or Amir Khan?
Hatton. I had to think about that one.
Eddie Hearn or Don King?
Yeah, the Belfast slimy lizards, aren't they? I say Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn's funny, isn't he? He does say some funny stuff.
Andrew Ruiz or Deontay Wilder?
Wilder.
Joshua or Fury?
Joshua.
Ben Askren or Jake Paul?
Askren.
So that'll do us there. That's the last one.
No, that's good. That quick
gets you a bit nervous, doesn't it?
Just a little bit, yeah.
So, talking about Ben Askren and Jake Paul.
Yeah, I thought this was a, because they were talking about like rumours of it, weren't they? And then it just like happened. And I'm like, I don't think it's a good look for Ben Askren or for MMA either. Because
it's the worst possible. Wow, I don't want to sound mean to Ben because I think he's an amazing fighter, but it's probably the worst representative of MMA to go into a boxing match.
Literally, you couldn't think of any fighter who's
got worse boxing.
Yeah, worse striking, full stop, could you? And I think even, like, the way he is and like the way his body is and his muscle fibers, he's not even like, he's like, you know, it looks more like a Jordan Burroughs, who's like super explosive wrestler. That's not
a sprinter.
Yeah, that's not Ben
Askren. More of a marathon.
Yeah, he's like very controlling, isn't he?
Slow,
he gets hold of that limb and he'll just like engulf you from there.
Yeah.
So I just can't see that he's not even that he's not gonna be competitive, but I think he's gonna look atrocious in doing it as well.
Yeah, the problem is as well, it's not just an MMA fighter; he's one of the best MMA fighters to ever fight.
Yeah.
Outside of the UFC.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you think about it, he's like, he's probably outside of the UFC. He's got to be the most successful welterweight, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, more so successful than Nick Diaz or Lawler or anyone that was outside the UFC for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably even more than anyone that's in Bellator now. He won the Bellator title undefeated, went over to Dream, or was it One?
Was it One?
One, sorry, Dream's kickboxing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
One, and undefeated over there. And the problem is, when I always found when he came to the UFC, it's not that he wasn't good enough to be in the UFC. It's that he got to an age where he retired. He said, I've had enough, I need surgery and stuff. I'm retired from MMA. And then he got offered the UFC contract. So when he came into the UFC, he'd already called it a day. And then he came back out of retirement to try and have a go at UFC.
Yeah, he basically got off the sofa, didn't he? Because I think, how long did he retire for? Like a couple of years, weren't it?
Yeah.
And then he came back.
If it had been 5 years before, I think he'd have had a completely different run.
Yeah, and the thing is, he got made a bit of a laughing stock of, didn't he? Because he lost to...
He beat Lawler,
which was... That was obviously a very controversial fight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Then he got knocked out by Masvidal, didn't he, in like 2 seconds. And then he got choked unconscious by Damian Maia. And he, like, even in that fight with Maia, like, his striking looked so bad, didn't it? Like, throwing them spinning back fists and, like, hands are low. And I just think it's not just that he's going to get beat up by Jake Paul. I think he's going to, like, beat up, get roasted, and make MMA look really bad as well.
Anybody that's a diehard MMA fan or just a big MMA fan knows that it's not really an important fight to represent MMA.
It's not about them people, it's about the casuals in the pub.
I've never watched any... I know what he looks like. I've seen pictures of Jake Paul. I haven't watched any of his boxing. I don't know what he... I know his brother's on YouTube. I don't know if he's on YouTube as well. I don't know much about him. Probably showing my age there a little bit. But I assume he's going to be able to brag if he beats Ben Askren that he's beat a former MMA champion. So this is why I'm so good and...
Yeah.
I mean, you put him against anyone else.
He's decent, but I think like, if like me and you got in a ring with him and had a spar with him, I think we'd probably knock him about.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably quite a bit bigger than me, but I don't think he'd matter.
Yeah, I think he'd be probably, you know, defend himself and that, but I think you'd probably get the better of him. Yeah. You know what I mean? You'd be landing shots on him all day long. So, yeah, it is what it is, obviously. He's clearly making big money for doing it, isn't he? So you can't.
So if you had to really pick that fight, who would you go with?
Oh, I think Jake Paul beats him. I think Jake Paul beats him on points. That's what I think. What would you say?
How many rounds has he fought before Jake Paul?
I don't know. I think, did he knock that, what's that kid called, that NBA guy? He knocked him out in like 2 rounds, I think, didn't he?
He'd never done any training though before, had he? Or something I heard.
I think it was the other guy's first fight.
Not just his first fight, he'd not done any training for it or anything. He just wanted to fight him.
He must have trained for it, surely.
I don't know.
He must have trained for it.
I thought so, but apparently that's what he was saying afterwards. I didn't do any training, but I think this is like 6 or 8 rounds. I don't really want to go into this too much, but it's just a bit of fun. I think it's 6 or 8 rounds. I doubt that someone that just fights on YouTube can go 6 or 8 rounds if Ben Askren knows how to work. I don't know. Maybe Ben beats him in the last round. I don't know. I don't know if he's got knockout power. I don't know if he can stop him. I don't know.
What are you saying? Final shot is what you're
saying.
It's
tough, isn't it? Because to be an Olympian in wrestling, there's nothing really tougher than becoming an Olympian as a sport. I mean, there's obviously running's tough. Anything's tough to be the best. But that grind when it comes to wrestling, to have that mentality to become a world, like Olympian, an undefeated world champion in MMA without any striking, to have that mindset and be so determined to win, to think they can't beat somebody that doesn't know how to fight in boxing, it just sounds crazy.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you said Ben Askren's, don't know, doing javelin, you'd think, come on, Ben, you haven't got a chance, have you, either. So,
If it was javelin against someone else that can't do a javelin, if it was just an average person that plays video games on YouTube, and then Ben Askren, who's an Olympian, and they had to have a javelin contest, I'd go, well, Ben Askren, because he knows how to prepare for something. Probably.
I just don't see how he looks. You know what I mean? He wins his fights by
wrestling. I just wish we could tag anybody else in from the MMA world. Anyone.
Literally anyone. But is what it is, isn't it? Is what it is.
Yeah. Right then. So, just on that note, just for a bit of fun, can you think of anyone that could move from MMA to boxing and have a bit of success? Probably not the best in the world, but maybe have some fun fights. If we're talking about fun fights like the Askren and Jake Paul. Do you think there's anyone that could move there and be competitive? I quite liked the spectacle of the Floyd Mayweather and McGregor. I know a lot of diehard boxing fans didn't, but because I'm not a diehard boxing fan and I haven't got that sort of love for the sport like they have, I didn't mind watching the sort of circus of it. I quite enjoyed it as entertainment.
I think that, not that it takes away from it, but he went in there right at the top, didn't he? He fought Floyd Mayweather, whereas if he fought someone that were like, you know, a bit further down the pecking order, I think he'd have probably looked a lot better.
Yeah.
I know
Floyd was giving him rounds, but when I was watching that, I was like, right, round one, McGregor won that round. 2, yeah, probably McGregor won that round. 3, probably McGregor. 4, McGregor. I was just sat there like, is this actually happening? He's slowly edging it. And obviously Floyd knew what he was doing.
Just turned it on, didn't
but it? I remember just at the time, like, this can't be happening. Yeah, this can't be happening. Well, obviously he stopped him.
But I think he would excel if you took it seriously, stop doing MMA, and just went in more like a domestic level to start off with.
I think it'd be okay, but I don't think you need to leave a sport that's on the rise to jump to a sport that's on the fall.
Yeah, unless you're sort of taking the big fights at the top. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I think Cody Garbrandt, obviously, he's like a very good boxer. And he's got very fast hands.
He's a bit more of that gunslinger style, hands at his waist, but he's got power for sure. Think of anyone else?
Who else? Like someone like Justin Gaethje, Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
I think
Dustin Poirier would be fun to watch against someone.
They would, but it's one of them where he's like, doesn't really use angles a lot, does he? But he's like pistons, isn't he? And I think he'd overwhelm a lot of people. And he's a pure athlete, isn't he, at the end of the day? I think he'd excel at any sport.
What do you think to this idea? Instead of bringing, I mean, this is probably going to piss anyone off listening to this, but I like to have a bit of fun with stuff. Again, I like to watch a bit of pro wrestling, so I like the theatrics sometimes. Not always just the technique of it. Instead of trying to put MMA guys against the top boxing guys, obviously Mike Tyson's building a bit of a Legends League at the minute.
Yeah.
What about bringing some legends over, like Anderson Silva versus Roy Jones, like the You were talking about
ages. You know what? That'd be a good one, that.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Roy Jones, Mike Tyson fight, though? Did you?
I saw the highlights.
I think, looking at Roy Jones, that I think Anderson Silva now would probably just eat him alive, though. Because he's still a, you know, he's still competing at the highest level, isn't he? Yeah, whereas like Roy Jones, you know, he looked like he'd obviously been out of there for a while.
There's some legends
that as good as old self. Do you reckon what, like sticking people like Fedor in and people Fedor, like
that? That's what I mean. You could have some real fun with this. I think people, as soon as they hear this idea, would be like, oh, no, that's terrible. Why would I watch that? But think about it. You could juice Vitor up. Put Vitor in there against some guys.
Someone there, wouldn't
it? Some tight.
Fighting an older man as well.
Like bringing like Tony Bellew in to fight some big heavyweights. Bringing Garner in to fight Tony Bellew or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think that'd be a good one too.
I'm going back to the top there, but just some of the legends. Probably leave like Chuck and stuff out of the way because he looked terrible.
It took a lot of damage though, hasn't he, as well, Chuck? Yeah,
this certain guy, I think you could have a bit of fun with it, just entertainment-wise.
Bellator done a bit of it though, didn't they? Obviously not with boxing, but like they had like Rampage back in there, didn't they? Yep. Tito. And like, I think it definitely brings eyes to the sports, but at the same time, it's like a little bit of a mockery as well, isn't it? Where it's a bit of a freak show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's never the most fun to watch, but maybe like a one-off once a year.
Yeah.
But like I say, Vitor, bring Krokop back out of retirement.
I think you could have a Legends card, though, couldn't you? You could have one, and they just, or the whole card, prelims, obviously, and the main card is all just Legends. Like, I think that'd
topped off with Mike Tyson versus Fedor.
Yeah.
Imagine though, like most people would be like, oh, I don't want to see this Legends thing. But as soon as you mention Mike Tyson versus Fedor, anyone's going to sort of go, I might check that out.
You're going to have a bit of it, aren't you? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, two sort of aging legends.
Yeah, now I think...
I know Musa would be front and centre. Musa loves Fedor.
The only problem is, though, I think when you see them and they're just like a bit of a shell of themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm... Like, it's never good to watch. I watched that Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. And obviously the thing with Roy Jones Jr. is he's all like amazing perception into, you know, we can see everything before it comes, you know, angles, intimidating people. And there was just none of that there of him. And you're not really watching Roy Jones Jr. He got knocked out like, what, 3-4 years ago we were done, weren't he? So,
he was just jumping in fights, yeah. The problem is, with any sort of combat sport or any sport, the first things that go are speed and sort of your reaction times.
Aren't they? Yeah, your nervous system obviously that slows down, doesn't it, as you get older. So. And
when you're like a Roy Jones or Anderson Silva, when you're a reaction sort of counter fighter and that goes, what have you got left? You haven't got big power. Whereas Mike Tyson, he's always been a power puncher, and power's the last thing that goes.
Yeah. And he's one of them, like, conditioning. It's like, everything with him, if you notice the way he fights, he's like, he'll throw the same combination, take that angle, throw another combination. That's like how he knocks people out. So he's basically just still going through those same
notes. Yeah, he's just going through those patterns that he knows.
Yeah, which are like ingrained in his head anyway, aren't they? Yeah. So.
Well, anyway, I just thought that might be quite a fun thing. Maybe not. Maybe it'd be crap, but...
Yeah, I'd definitely stay up for it. So I'm with you there.
I mean, boxing definitely doesn't want my help, but I'm just trying to make boxing a little bit more...
Who would it appeal to, though, do you think? Because if you had...
Probably more MMA guys.
MMA fighters crossing over to boxing with a few retired boxers as well.
Yeah.
It's like...
I think boxing gets very sort of... on the back foot and defensive when it comes to anything like that. They're like, no, that's not real boxing. It's like, we know it's not. It's just a bit of fun. Whereas I think MMA fans like a bit of a freak show every now and again.
Yeah, definitely. It started off as a freak show, didn't it, I suppose. So
Yeah.
No, I think you're onto something.
I know Khabib's putting a league together.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what he does with that. I know he's talking about putting Fedor in there.
I thought it was like more of a grassroots thing he was doing. Is it going to be like...
He's bought a league that I think it was called...
Eagle FC or something?
It was called Gorilla Fight League or something like that, and he's changed the name to Eagle Fight League.
Right.
So I'm sure it was like Gorilla Fight League and he's made it Eagle Fight League. So he's not bringing something completely up. He's bought a league and he's changing that league.
Right.
So, obviously putting some money and stuff in.
All the fighters and that as well, then, is it?
Yeah, and probably try and bring some more in because it's obviously hit with his name and I don't know if he's got investment or money he's made himself, but he's going to try and inject a bit more sort of talent in that. I think he probably wants one of the bigger shows in Russia. I think that's their goal.
Right.
I'm not sure. What's the show that Sam fought on that time?
ACB.
I think that's one of the biggest shows in Russia.
I think it's one of the biggest ones in the world. Is it biggest one after FC or something, isn't it? I think it's like, it's up there anyway.
Possibly. Yeah. I think he's competing in that market, in that Russian market.
Is it really? It's interesting to know. It'd be good to see what he does. And obviously, because he'll be wanting to bring people up and bring them through into the UFC, won't he? So I'm sure there'll be lots of talent coming out of like Dagestan and that part of the world.
I never usually like this question, but I thought I'd throw it out there. Is there any boxers that you think can come to MMA? Obviously, it's a tough thing to ask because then they'd have to know sort of wrestling and jiu-jitsu and kickboxing at a small level just to move on. But can you think of anyone that'd be fun to watch?
Have you seen Lomachenko wrestle before? If you see
I have actually got him written down. I have heard that he's got sort of background in loads of different sports.
Yeah, but if you follow him on Instagram, and they were just like a little, you know, 20-second video clip of him wrestling, and that guy's like very good wrestler. Yeah, I think he's just a freak athlete, isn't he? So he can probably do anything he has his hand to.
I did hear that his dad or his parents made him do loads of different sports as a kid. Yeah. So that's why he moves so differently, because
they made him dance, didn't they? Like, do some dance, like, they were like
football.
Traditional Ukrainian dance for like, he said he wanted to be a boxer, and his dad were like, put him into Ukrainian dancing for 4 years.
Yeah, so it's like quite clever. It's quite clever, because if you do one sort of thing, other than maybe sort of like golf or something that you need that sort of more mental than physical, if you do something too long from being a kid, I think you wear out quick. If you look in Thailand, definitely. A lot of the Thai fighters retire in their early 20s, which is crazy, because they'll have the success in the teens.
The thing with them is it's all the shins.
That's what I mean,
burnt out, aren't they? The shins are so much.
From being
damage.
Little kids, they just wear the body down.
Yeah.
You can only do something for so long, so I think doing multiple different things as a kid and then finding one thing to move towards is a good idea.
You want to peak at the right time as well, then, it's such an important thing.
Yeah, you can only take so much damage and put up with so much.
Yeah, that's it.
So Lomachenko. I did put down it probably as a bit of a fun one just because of how he punches. I think it's probably too old now, but if you got Deontay Wilder training a little bit, wrestling and stuff, just how he throws his hands, I was thinking, Jesus, if he had small gloves on.
Yeah.
Them overhand rights, then bombs and stuff.
Yeah.
Could be quite entertaining.
I think you've got to think Mike Tyson as well. Imagine if you got like a young 18-year-old Mike Tyson into MMA. I think with that, because he has like a very warrior mindset, doesn't he? Is that very philosophical? I think like he's just like an ultimate predator in it. So I think if you taught him a bit of takedown defense for kicks and that, I think he'd definitely excel, wouldn't he?
I've seen interviews of him say like it just wasn't around when I was younger. So wow.
Yeah,
well, but if it was, it might, because he does go to all the shows now. He's a big fan of MMA.
He loves it, doesn't he? I mean, he got his world title in like the 80s, didn't he? And then MMA come around properly in like
early to mid 90s,
1996, wasn't it? So yeah, it didn't even exist, did it?
I think it might be 93 or 4.
Was it 93?
But it was you're not making that sort of money. You're not making millions then.
No.
It was just something. I mean, I can't remember what the boxer guy who was in the UFC, I can't remember his name.
Was it Art Summit, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
Art
it's not Davis as if he was one of the best boxers in the world.
No.
And then you get something like a Shamrock. He had good wrestling and catch wrestling, but he wasn't the best in the world in that field. It wasn't like they had the best guys from all the different
It wasn't world things. Class. Well, they were only fighting for like, well, not only, but they were fighting for 50 grand, weren't they? So,
yeah
you're not going to get top level boxer. No. For 50 grand, are you?
No, but it'd be nice to see so all the best guys in all the different divisions, all the different arts come together. I think probably jiu-jitsu or wrestling would have won anyway.
Yeah, I think maybe wrestling, but like, because you've got to think someone just put them in the back and just pound them out.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't understand jiu-jitsu defense, that's when the issues arise.
Yeah, so you've literally done nothing either, because you're going to be... I think as well, because of the Gracies then as well, that they did used to fight in like more rounded capacity, didn't they? So they could strike, couldn't they? And they could wrestle as well, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they weren't just strictly jiu-jitsu guys, were they? They were like, what were it called now? I remember. Like Valetudo, obviously, weren't it? Yeah, so they were full contact fighters even then, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, you see sort of Eddie Bravo bringing that back a little bit with combat jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So it's jujitsu, but with palm strikes.
Yeah.
And they're just slapping the shit out of each other. It's like, not even attempting a submission, just beating each other up.
Yeah. Can you do it? Can you beat them into TKO? Because they can't do slaps,
you can
can't
TKO
they?
Them, yeah.
TKO, it's whether you could do it, though, isn't it? I suppose TKO someone by slapping them.
If it's them palm strikes, if you hit them right, then you got to remember, some of the people that are getting hit by palm strikes aren't used to doing any striking.
Yeah.
So they're just like sort of flow sort of jujitsu guys, and all of a sudden you're just palming their nose into the back of the head.
Catch them around the side of the jaw.
You're not just going to be laid on the back relaxing in guard anymore. You're just fucking peppering the nose.
Yeah, it's going to mess you up, isn't it, I suppose.
So is there any boxing fights this year before we go? Is there any boxing fights coming up that you're excited about? I've got a couple of written down just to throw at you if you can't think of any.
AJ Fury, aren't we?
Possibly. Possibly.
Yeah,
it's not
hopefully it's going to happen. I think another one which is not given, but I think probably maybe the biggest one for myself anyway, be Errol Spence, Terence Crawford. You know, like two of the best welterweights.
Is that booked or is it possibly booked?
They want to fight that management teams don't get along though, which is right. Like they're always
again,
calling each other out.
That's the issue with boxing. It's like everyone wants to see these guys fight, but they can't come to a deal. If it was more of a dictatorship, they'd just be like, right guys, you've got a week or two to sort it out, and then that's it.
That's the problem. And I think like because obviously they've got managers and promoters. Your manager and your promoter can both make good money by you just fighting the next guy down.
Yep.
It doesn't actually benefit the best person, does it? Yeah, which is it's ridiculous, you know. And I think more of that is creeping into MMA as well. And especially because, the money's getting better into it as well at MMA. So
they're worried about losing fights now.
Yeah, definitely. And like, got to think like Khabib, for example. Like, obviously, you've got 29 and old, isn't he? And like, you look at someone like McGregor, like, you know, lost the fight to Dustin Poirier, and it's like, people are just trashing him online. Like, not even more, like, casual fans. They're trashing him, aren't they?
Yeah, for a loss. People calling for him to retire.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Like, that's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's like two guys in a cage. Only one of them can win.
Two of the best in the world. McGregor was probably winning that fight as well until then.
Definitely won the first round.
Poirier was chopping him down, putting sort of water in the basement or money in the bank or whatever you want to class it as. He was doing it for the later rounds. It was a good game plan. But Conor looked fairly good then. I know he had a bit more of a boxing style, but he was landing shots.
I think it was...
To call for retirement after that, that's insane. Poirier beats everyone.
He was definitely stronger as well, weren't he? Like, you know, like in the clinch and that, and he got tucked down and managed to get back to his feet again. So yep. I think, to be fair, McGregor could probably be quite successful with like a wrestling, grappling approach.
The thing is, with those low kicks, the shin kicks, the calf kick, as soon as you get stung with a couple of big calf kicks, it's pretty much you're in trouble.
Yeah, it changes your whole game.
It's hard to get.
All you can think
it's hard
about.
To recover from that.
Yeah, yeah.
The obvious defense is more of a Thai style. If you look at Thai fighters, they don't really use calf kicks because of how they stand.
Yeah,
so I won't be surprised if people using more calf kicks, with people using more calf kicks, you'll see sort of the opposite. You'll see people starting to use the Thai style now to defend against it.
Yeah,
then people won't be using that. MMA goes in these weird sort of circles of, at the minute everyone's moving like a Taekwondo guy or a wide stance, karate. So then these calf kicks are really effective. So what I think you'll see is people starting to stand more like a Thai fighter, and then that's the way to defend it. But then once you stand like that, you're more likely to get double leg takedown because you're not moving.
Yeah,
you stood in one spot.
More upright as well, aren't you? So front leg's there to just get picked up into it. So
it goes in these sort of...
It's like reactive, isn't it? You got to react to what's in fashion at the moment.
That's what I meant to say. That's what I was looking for, fashion. They go in these sort of fashions of styles.
Yeah.
So that's why Chandler's a bit of a throwback because that used to be the style a while ago. And then it sort of faded out. Yeah, so I'll just throw a couple of fights coming up in boxing at you, and then we'll sort of get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
So Canelo Alvarez is fighting soon.
Yeah.
When you start doing predictions with us, you'll realise this. I'm terrible at pronouncing names. It's a running joke.
Don't you worry. I can't say much better myself.
So I'm going to try and attempt this name. So Auni Yildirim.
I don't even know who he is. Where's he from to start off with? Is he Mexican?
I'm not sure. Auni Yildirim. Yildirim.
I've got to say, personally, I've never heard. So it must be like a mandatory.
Yeah.
It probably, like, again, you know, it's like, makes
I thought
sense
they were doing the Billy Joe
him.
Saunders fight, and then all of a sudden,
so did I, man. But I think Billy Joe's been hunting for that fight for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think it'd be good, interesting to watch, especially like having a UK fighter. Fight someone like Alvarez.
If it happens,
yeah.
He might have to get one more win before he'll give him the Canelo fight, but a good one, Povetkin versus Dillian White 2.
Yeah.
Obviously, the first time, he looked like Dillian White was winning that fight, I think, and then he just got caught with that big shot, really nicely set up.
Yeah, yeah.
He was throwing to the body, weren't he? And then he switched from the body to a front uppercut.
Yeah.
Is it front uppercut? Yeah. He was throwing the left hook to the body, then switched to a front uppercut.
Yeah, but brought his hands down, didn't he? And he got knocked out cold, I think.
Yeah.
You got a feel for White, I think, because the way he's done and, you know, like how well he's done for himself. And the only person to beat him before that was Anthony Joshua, wasn't it? And he's always been denied. He's just not a big enough name, is he?
He was looking like he was stepping into that top five for those big names.
Yeah, I think if he'd have won that fight, then, you know, it'd be next in line for a title. But, I think he was outclassing Povetkin, weren't he? And he was looking very good. And so he got caught with that combat.
It was very clever.
Hands came down, didn't they?
It was very clever because he was setting it up.
Yeah, but I think you'd have to put your money on White to win the rematch.
I agree.
But we'll see. He's a lot younger, isn't he, as well, and he's so hungry, and he's got. I think he had a lot going on with like depression, didn't he? Like he failed a drug test, and then his B sample came back negative, and I think he was in a dark place basically, and he would fight before Povetkin, and then he got the win anyway.
I can't think of
it. Bought him on the up. I can't remember who fought. But and you got to think he's such a good guy. I've always like him as a personality and a character.
So, yeah, he's quite interesting.
Good interviews, man.
It was looking like if he beat Povetkin in that first fight, he was going to get a bigger name, quite a big name. Povetkin's already a fairly big name anyway.
Yeah.
He could have really stepped into a big sort of match, like you say. He's made that resurgence after the Anthony Joshua fight.
Yeah. Joseph Parker, didn't he? Which is obviously like, you get all them guys that aren't quite, you know, Fury or AJ.
Yeah, if you put them as the A tier, sort of like Wilder, yeah. Fury, Joshua, then they're like B tier.
Yeah, he's not quite the athlete they are, is he, bless him? But no, he does well, I think. And it'd be good to see him against them, like maybe like someone like a Wilder or Andy Ruiz.
I
don't think he's fought since he lost, has he?
No, he's just completely dropped off.
Well, the thing is, he's probably got $20 million in his bank. He's probably chilling. He's probably got a Bentley. Probably enjoying life, isn't he?
You think he fights again?
Yeah, maybe not. You know, he's got that much money in your bank.
He's only young, I think. Do you want to fight?
Exactly, and you've got that much money. Maybe, you know what I mean? He's done it.
He looked like he really didn't take that last one serious.
Yeah, exactly. But he probably didn't, though. He probably, like, again, you know, obviously with the contract, he's like, right, I'm going to get this much. You know, he's like, probably, you know, he's living a good life now, isn't he? Clearly doesn't like cutting weight, does he? He's like, probably.
Didn't he put like 20, 30 pounds on from the first to the second fight?
Yeah, I think he came in heavier, didn't he, for his second fight?
Which is great because on the build-up he was making out he was going to slim down and come in quicker and then came in bigger. I remember Roy Nelson once did that. He was talking about, I'm going to drop to, I think he was like 250 pounds, and he was talking about dropping to light heavyweight. Or he was like 240.
No way you can do that. That's a lot of weight to lose.
I think so. Everyone was saying like he used to have a light heavyweight frame, but just a belly and stuff on him.
He probably still has got an actual belly on him.
But what he was doing was he took a heavyweight fight and he basically trolled everyone by saying, after this, I'm going to drop to light heavyweight, so I'm on my way down now. And then when he weighed in, he was like 260 pounds. He was like, I'm only joking. I was never going to lie to you.
Coming even heavier.
I'm like, oh, bollocks. Like, we were actually quite looking forward to, like, I mean, Roy Nelson, if he can get to light heavyweight, that's interesting.
But a lot of them don't, though, because it's a different lifestyle, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, probably likes eat what you want, have a beer after training, and you're like, you're a deadly person, aren't you? But when you put him in that little pigeonhole of, like,
he was fantastic in the ultimate fire.
Yeah.
Where, did you see the, Shane Carwin? And like all his team were like, we want to do two or three sessions a day. And he was like, nah, we'll just do one a day. And we'll get that done. Then we can go home. And everyone's like, no, we want to do more than that.
Trying to get in the UFC.
This is everything for us. And he's like, nah, just one a day will do.
Nah, I can't say I've seen that, actually. But I have just got UFC Fight Pass, though. So I might
Carwin versus Nelson. It's funny.
Is it?
That's another. We'll get off in a second. But that's a heavyweight that everyone forgets now, but in his day, Shane Carwin was
the man, weren't he?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Bigger than Lesnar. Lesnar was a 5XL glove, and I think he was a 6XL or something. He was one size bigger than
Lesnar.
He was a beast, and I just don't know what happened to him. I think he had a lot of injuries or illnesses. I think he had an illness.
If you're a bigger guy, though, you're going to take a lot more damage, aren't you? More wear and tear on your body as well.
Yeah, true. But, right then, so that'll do us today. So thank you for coming on, mate.
Yeah, no, thanks for having
us. Looking forward to this.
I've enjoyed it, to be honest. The time's flown by, hasn't it?
We are in the middle of season one of Fight Predictions at the minute. That'll be January, February, March. So after March, beginning of February, you're going to come on board and we're going to do like a three-person fight prediction. So it's going to be even more difficult for me to get that belt because I'm miles behind. I'm about 15 points behind now.
More competition.
So yeah. I'm terrible at fight picks. So Musa's going to be stressing out because he takes it very seriously.
You've got some good fights though coming up in March, haven't you? So there's still a lot to play
for. We've had this weekend off. I mean, it's a good fight. Lewis versus... Blades.
Yeah, versus Blades. Yeah,
that's tonight. I was tempted to put £50. I can't afford it at the minute because I'm out of work. But I'm that sure Curtis Blades is going to win this fight. I'm tempted to put £50 on Blades to win by a TKO or submission within 5 rounds. That's how sure. I'm sure he's going to finish it.
Do you think
sure
he stops him, though? Do you think he stops him?
In 25 minutes. I don't think Lewis will go 25 minutes.
I think Blades has got a point to prove as anti at the moment.
Yeah, I even looked and it was £30 on. No, £50 on, £80.75 or something back. So I'd only make £30 and I could potentially lose 50. But I was like, that's nailed on that. I think he's definitely going to win. But
not though, is it? Because like Lewis can knock anyone on the planet out.
Yeah, he has been caught by Ngannou.
Not Volkov out. Did he knock Rosenstruck out as well?
No, he hadn't fought Rosenstruck.
But
Volkov out, he knocked Travis Brown out.
Not Overeem out.
Yeah, knock Overeem out.
Surely not Overeem out.
I'm not.
Yeah, because he messed up Overeem's lip, didn't he?
No, that was Rosenstrike.
I'm pretty sure he's one of them. He's like, he never looks good in the fight, but
yeah, he's always got that.
He's so dangerous. And you got.
I honestly don't think that it's going to be getting up, getting down, getting up. I think every time Curtis Blade takes him down, he's either staying down for the rest of the round or he's going to finish him.
But you say that, but at the end of the day, he is an elite athlete and he must be training his takedown defence.
But Cormier,
he's not just there punching back though, is he?
Cormier ragdolled him and Curtis Blades is about £30 bigger than Cormier.
Yeah, chapeau.
Your
wise man's decision is on I like Curtis Blades as well.
If he was doing fight predictions, I'd put all my points on Curtis Blades. I was tempted to put money on, but obviously we're not doing it. Next weekend we're doing Cyril Gane versus Rosenstrike, which is an amazing striking fest of MMA.
Yeah,
that Cyril Gane's a beast. I think he's going to be one of the top guys.
When he knocked JDS out, didn't he? Viciously knocked him out as well.
Not just knocked him out, just picked him apart for the entire fight leading up to that. It wasn't like he landed a lucky shot. He was just composed. He's a young guy. Just looked great. Looked amazing. Yeah.
He's an elite Thai boxer, isn't he? And I think he's only had like 6 or 7 fights, hasn't he?
That experienced, but both Gane and Rosenstrike, their last fights was JDS and they both knocked him out.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. So that's next weekend. And then I think we've got like 3 weekends or 4 weekends in a row before we have a break. Obviously, there's 5 weeks left and then we'll be starting season 2 where everything resets back to zero. All you're going to come on and we're going to do some three-person fight predictions. So there'll be potentially either having you phoning on your laptop or we'll figure it out. We'll find a way. But yeah, that'll do us today.
Yeah, we'll sort something out. All right, well, nice one anyway. Yep.
Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, so follow the podcast on Instagram at TheCPWPod. TheCPWPod on Instagram. Usually put a picture up there. I've got a bit of a funny one for this episode. We don't really do anything else like Twitter or anything. We just use the Instagram. Basically getting us reps in with this podcast, and I think when we get to about episode 50, I think we're going to have this nailed on, but we're only on 8 at the minute, so we will keep it going.
Little way to go, yeah. So, it's going well, isn't it? So,
it's going well. It's doing above and beyond where I thought it was going to be at. Like the amount of downloads of separate accounts and things I've had, it's a bit overwhelming, but we'll see what happens this next year or so. I don't know why anybody actually wants to listen to me half the time, but I enjoy it. Yeah, so that'll do us. Thank you for listening, and we will see you on the next one.